the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, Season 9, Episode 387. This is a weekly conversation about BYU sports between me, Adam Mangum, and my brother Matt. On this week's show, we answer a boatload of your tweetbag questions and talk about what the Cougars need to do with their bye week. Rise and Shout, Cougars. It's game time. So you just stay up watching baseball last night, Matt?
I watched some baseball last night, surprisingly enough.
Your Washington Nationals, and our brother Sam was at the game.
Unbelievable. That's awesome.
Tremendous comeback victory that is just a weird one. As a neutral fan, because I don't care. By the way, can you hear the rain? Is that loud?
Is it? Are you quoting a song? Is that a song?
No,
it's not. I feel like that's a song from the band Nelson.
I don't know any of their songs. So
it's like a power ballad.
I'll have to leave that up to you.
Hear the rain!
Yeah,
it just feels like a power ballad.
I don't know what you're talking about. But the outro music might be Nelson now. We'll see.
They had a song about rain.
Kansas rain, Kansas rain is like, it's either not raining or it's like the opposite of Seattle where it's like misting all the time. It's either here it's not raining or it's pouring. Nobody cares about Nelson. Why do you keep talking about this?
It's like their greatest hit.
Good. That's awesome. But anyway, great baseball game. Are they going all the way? Nats winning the...
Yeah, Nats all the way, baby.
They're losing. They're going to get swept by the... They're going to get swept by the Dodgers. Their best two pitchers already pitched.
Stop it.
Corbin's pretty good, though.
Yeah, Corbin's good. That was the surprising thing, right? Is where they're going to go with Corbin or Scherzer last night. So,
well, I think they made the right choice, though Scherzer just pitched okay.
Yeah, he pitched okay. Strasburg, I thought, looked really good.
Strasburg looked fantastic. But you know who looked really fantastic? That Hader guy for Milwaukee. If by fantastic you mean he struggled to not hit people and find the strike zone.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad day.
He is nasty, though. I mean, the guys were swinging at those fastballs that were like at their eyeballs, right? He's nasty. He's a good pitcher, so they beat... Good pitcher. How bad do you feel for that Grisham guy from Milwaukee? Like, I know you're a Nats fan, so maybe you don't care because your team won, but I mean.
Really don't.
Watching that ball roll past him, I was like, ugh.
You know what? I thought he had a good attitude about it. Like, he said, hey, I charged at it too hard, and I made an error.
Well, here's the thing. Two runs are scoring. They had, put what's-his-face, the guy that looks like your accountant, as the pinch runner, who's fast for Zimmerman. So two runs were going to score. All he was going to do was prevent the winning run from coming across, right?
Which they were back there in a prevent doubles defense, right? So he should have just stuck with that philosophy.
Yeah.
Get out of there with a tie.
I think he thought maybe I could get the ball to the plate, right? He's thinking that. So
no way.
Anyway, I hate to say this, but I think the Dodgers are going to be in there again. Sorry, buddy.
Don't apologize to me. I mean, apologize to yourself for when you're LeBron later.
When I'm LeBron? LeBron?
I stuttered a little bit, all right? Is that a new thing?
Maybe we'll just say LeBron instead of wrong. Like LeBron, but LeBron now that he's LA.
LeBron. Isn't that one of the Ball brothers, LeBron? LeBron Ball?
Here's the thing.
Big baller brand.
I have no interest in the NBA next year. Like, the Celtics aren't going to be any good. Stupid Kyrie Irving, like, destroys the Celtics and gets to, be buddies with Durant in Brooklyn. Another, guy forces his way to go play with LeBron. The Clippers are going to be good. I don't know, man. Anyway,
we're way off topic now. The moment for me the other day, I was listening to ESPN radio on the way to or from work. I can't remember, but I think it was on the way into work. And they started interviewing a guy from WWE as if like it was like a real sport. And they were like, hey, so what do you think you got to do to protect your belt or whatever? I don't even know who they were talking to. And I changed the channel. I was like, I'm not listening to this garbage. Like, this isn't real.
Right.
As I was changing the channel, I realized that I have a similar reaction when they talk about the NBA. That's a sad place to be.
It's
a sad place to be.
It's just weird. And I know Jazz fans are excited because they could have a good team, but they're not going to beat the Lakers and the Clippers, right? I mean, I don't know. And maybe I'm just bitter because the Celtics made a bet on Kyrie Irving, which I was against from the beginning, and it's come back to haunt them, right? Because he just kind of imploded. And I love in his press conference, he's like, yeah, I really let the Celtics down last year. I feel really bad. Yeah, we can tell. Your remorse is palpable. But anyway, we're way off topic. What am I doing talking about the NBA? Who's going to win the World Series, man?
You know what? I really do want to say the Washington Nationals, but I just can't. I believe the Houston Astros are going to do it. So I'm going to go from one homer team to another.
The Astros are good. But the funny thing about the playoffs is you never know. I mean, I thought the Nats were cooked last night, right? We're recording.
Yeah, well, other than these one game, you know, winner take all type of scenarios, the baseball, Major League Baseball playoffs really are a great equalizer.
Yeah, they're great.
You know,
I mean,
but it's crazy to me. You play 180 games, you know, you play all these games, and
162,
then
162, not 180. What?
It's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games.
And you play all these games, and you play 1,000 games. I don't know what the number is. You play all these games, and then it comes down to, like in the case of last night, nine innings, one single game, or even a series. One inning, you know what I mean?
Right?
Even these series. I mean, it's just,
it really came down to crazy. One inning, one half of an inning for the Brewers. Mm-hmm.
Right? It really came down to like a couple of hits.
Yeah.
I'd say Zimmerman's hit, and then Soto's hit.
Well, and those home runs earlier, right, that gave Milwaukee the lead. Right, it all came down to a couple of plays, so it's pretty cool. All right, so let's dive in, Matt. You've got to get up early because you got to run like what 9 miles before you go to work or something stupid.
Yeah, it's gonna be 9 miles tomorrow morning. I don't know why I do this to myself.
I don't know either, but let's get you ready for that by jumping on in the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
All right, our first one is from Eric. That's at Eric or Eric on Twitter, and of course you can tweet at us at BYU_BYUShop. Is there a Ewing theory potential in Zach Wilson's injury? Now, for those of you, Eric explains it. But for those of you that aren't familiar with the Ewing theory, it came from the sports guy, Bill Simmons, where, you know, great player gets hurt or traded and the remaining players are able to step up and all that. The answer is no, because Wilson is not in order to qualify for the Ewing theory, you have to have become like kind of iconic for the program. Right? So, no. I'm sorry. Wilson does not qualify for the Ewing theory. I don't think. Matt?
Well, you just went ahead and attacked the question on its face. I went ahead and made the assumption that the question was, you know, do we think there's this chance of the player rallying and the team rallying and being better after they're done? And while in this scenario, if I just ignore the fact that maybe Zach Wilson isn't in a position to even set this up correctly. Way to look for the silver lining here, Eric, but sure, anything's possible, but I don't see this as being really likely.
Yeah. I mean, they could be better. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of games on this schedule towards the end of the year. And of course, this also depends on, I mean, we're being told by not actual sources, right? By Ben Criddle's sources or other people that it's 6 to 8 weeks, which I've, is probably right? He had surgery on his thumb, on his throwing hand. He's not going to be back in practice next week. And quite frankly, Kalani hinted at this after the loss to Toledo, right, on Saturday. So if you assume he's out 6 to 8 weeks, that's basically the season or until, you know, the last two games of the season, right? So you've got
to stretch
here.
Let's look at this for a minute.
You got to stretch here that it's USF. I already looked at it once or twice. USF, Boise State, Utah State, Liberty, and Idaho State are probably all out at this point. That's Jaren Hall.
So at that point, you got UMass and San Diego State. Now, depending on what's going on there, and I haven't even thought about this till just now. Maybe that just says more about me. But what do you just sit him and try and get a medical redshirt?
No, you can't get a medical redshirt. He started 5 football games. You're not getting a medical redshirt. If he got hurt against Washington, you don't even need
now you.
You don't even need it.
You don't
right?
even need the medical redshirt. You just redshirt him.
Yeah, you just redshirt. Right? But you're past that now. You're not going to get a redshirt. I don't think. I mean, the medical redshirt they could grant. But I'm going to guess the answer is no, because he could have come back. Right? I think this isn't actually a season-ending injury. Like Anderson's, right? Like Tyson right. Williams. It's not actually season-ending. He theoretically could come back. I don't know. I have no idea how good Jaren Hall is. So it's really hard for me to commit to they could really turn this around. Because if Jaren Hall is better than Zach Wilson, then yes. If he's not, then probably not, right?
But the other thing is this, is I think, you know, the Ewing theory is difficult to apply to football just because of the size of the team and the dynamics between positions. But the other issue here is that Jaren Hall will be missing Tyson Williams.
Correct. Right?
Like you're already down arguably your best offensive weapon, and then you lose Zach Wilson, and now you've definitely, between those two, you've definitely lost your best offensive weapon.
Well, I mean, so going into the season, I believed that the best three offensive players were Bushman, Zach Wilson, and probably Hefo. As the season, early season happened, I think you were correct that it's more likely was Wilson, Tyson Williams, and Bushman, okay? So if that's the case, this offense has lost two of its top three weapons. And it's now lost its gadget player in Jaren Hall because he is going to be playing every snap. So you don't have him to come in and do some cool things with every once in a while, which they were doing. We'll get to Grimes here in a second, but I don't know if they were actually using him that well. I hate splitting. Anyway, never mind. We'll get to that in a second. All right. So Matt Satake is, of course, after a loss like this, people want to fire your head coach, right? Fans get excited. So we've got three questions on this. I'm trying to decide if we should just read them all and then kind of talk about Satake. But let's start with this one from Jeff Johnston. That's at JeffJBYU on Twitter, which, by the way, it was like a 80-tweet conversation from his question with people, a lot of people kind of attacking him a little bit. Number one, his first question is, Jeff Grimes as offensive coordinator, sold or not sold? Absolutely not sold. Matt?
Yeah, not sold.
To the contrary, I'm not sure he's any better than Detmer was.
I don't know. Wow, that's some sharp criticism. I don't know if I'm quite there, but I mean, he's not. I can't say that he's really moved the needle.
On, was it third or fourth down when he ran that stupid pitch play to the short side of the field on the hash?
Yeah, we seem to do a lot of that to the short side of the field.
Well, let me tell you this. That is, to me, I tweeted this out. That is like a wide receiver committing a false start. It should never happen. It should never happen. It should never be called. It's stupid. Right. It's absolutely insane. The only way you run to the short side in that situation to the outside is on a kind of misdirection play where you got everybody else going the other way, right? You don't run a straight up run play to the outside on the short side in a short yardage situation. You just don't. They're coming for you, right? It's a short yardage. They're going to have run blitzes on, which they did. Wow, shocker, it didn't work. It's just stupid. Some of his play calls are just stupid. I just can't explain it. Why would you ever run that play? I don't understand why you'd ever run it. Ever. And Asukpa's not the right guy anyway. He's not a speed guy anyway, right? Maybe with Katoa because he can make the guy miss, right? But I wouldn't do
maybe.
It anyway.
I still
wouldn't do it, ever. So number two, if Grimes doesn't make the cut, will Kalani go with him or will BYU let Kalani try a third offensive coordinator? Okay. So before we answer that, Randy Whittle says, so this is Satake's MO with the Cougars, beat a named Power 5 team and then have a down year. Then lose to our rivals and lose to at least one bad team and beat some terrible teams and then stumble into a crappy bowl. This season just feels like deja vu all over again, says Randy Whittle on Facebook. You can join that conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/shout. And then Brian Taylor on Facebook says something similar. Why does BYU lay eggs against inferior competition in the Satake era? For example, UMass, East Carolina, Northern Illinois. Is that Northern Illinois we lost to?
Yes, yes, it is. That game was really ugly. Let's not talk about it.
Southern Florida in 2 weeks. Is this offensive coordinator, defensive run game issue, loose culture, being beaten up after playing four straight P5 teams, or a combination of everything? But then Justin Sweeney comes on
I don't know, Sweeney!
His whole thing on Instagram. He said, please put the small-minded idea that some myopic fans have that changing the head coach at BYU will significantly alter the product on the field with no other major program changes. Wow, it's a lot, Matt. But let me ask you this question. Is now the time that you would think about making a change with your head coach?
It's crazy about this. Just crazy.
I mean,
just
a week bananas. Ago, we were not even...
Two weeks ago, everybody's like, sign him up. Extend him now. Let's build on the momentum.
Yep, yep.
And then we lost to a really good Washington team, a ranked Washington team. And then the interesting thing about this Toledo loss, yes, like it sucks losing to Toledo. It does. It just does. But if I go back to the point you made a week ago, right, this team's better. Toledo is better than Tennessee, who we took two overtimes to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now the way we lost this game seems to be part of what's really bothering people, right? Inability to score against a defense that's not very good and these types of things. But, you know, are we ready to, like, fire the head coach over this? Like,
the way you lose a game, okay, I understand it. And we'll get to some of this as we talk about, you know, some of the discipline, right? Because we've had a bunch of dumb penalties, right? And Bushman, as much as I like the guy, if he has another false start the rest of the year, I think you got to bench him for a couple quarters. And I'm not joking. Like, it's insane that he's split out as a wideout and he's had three false starts split out. It's insane to me. I don't even understand it, right? It's the same as the running the short play. A wide receiver should never false start, ever. There's no excuse for it. I don't care if you've got a defensive back you're trying to beat, blah, blah, blah. Never, right? So there just seems to be a strange lack of discipline on Kalani's teams. Do you disagree with that? They're just stupid penalties in stupid moments. I don't mind penalties, right? Pass interference, like you're trying to be aggressive. I don't mind holding from the offensive line every once in a while. That's just going to happen, right? To me, that's just playing football. But false starts, weird late hits, it's just weird to me, and it just seems preventable.
And we all thought the shoe thing was cute, right? And I probably even said a couple weeks ago that I didn't have a problem with it. But
I didn't,
the context
I had
of what you're talking about, like if that had been a penalty, everybody would have been furious with this kid.
I don't know why Daw played the rest of that game. I wouldn't have played. Would you have, as a coach, if you saw the guy take the freaking quarterback shoe off and throw it off the field, would he have played again? I wouldn't have played him again.
It's just such a bizarre thing to do.
It's weird. Right?
But do I believe we have a discipline issue? Yes. Yes, yeah, I do.
I think there's some discipline issues here. This is not a Bronco Mendenhall, Robert, and I coach team. Right? And I want to – the firing Kalani thing, this is going to sound like I'm preaching against Kalani, right? But everybody wanted Mendenhall and Anai to be gone. You wanted Anai to be fired at least once, right? The grass –
yes. Well, it was like once continuously.
No, when he came back the second time, you were more okay with him the second time. Isn't that true? Am I making that
up? Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So, you know, a lot of fans wanted Bronco gone. We've hit a plateau. We can't go past it. We've hit a ceiling. All the things that I think are weird, and I don't know what they mean, right? We just say them. And now our ceiling seems to be lower, right? With Kalani. Can anyone argue against that? We're 13-18 or 13-19 in Kalani's time at BYU. Like, can anyone argue that this is not as good as Bronco and Robert and I? I don't think you can argue that. Bronco did independence too. Bronco did difficult schedules too. I mean, Bronco had like two or three losses to terrible teams. Kalani has a couple a year. And maybe Toledo's not fair as a terrible team. Maybe not. I don't know. I think they're not very good. But maybe by the end of the year we find out, okay, they're a mediocre team. And you lost to them on the road. But, you know, UMass, at home a couple years ago, you know, those type of things.
But here's
the
thing. Bad.
We're in the middle of the season. Is this the right time to talk about this? Like, if you're Tom Homo, you're evaluating him constantly. But don't we have to wait till the end of this body work? You're not going to fire him in the middle of the season, are you? Even if they lose to South Florida.
You're flushing your season down the toilet if you do that.
You know,
you're flushing the season down the toilet.
You're not going to fire him. So at this point, I say, I get what everybody's saying, but I think you have to step back and say, you got to evaluate him on the full season. And I'm going to disagree with Sweeney here. I don't think it's crazy for people to think about firing him. I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's the right thing to do. And I'd even probably say at the end of the year, depending on how the year goes, it's probably you need to give him another year, right? But I don't think it's crazy. That record against Utah State, Boise State, and Utah is, I think, the most damning thing on his resume.
Yeah, that's a real problem.
Because you're recruiting against all three of those schools every year. And, you know, and I get it. Utah State is up right now, right, as a program. And they look really good this year. They look really good. So, I mean, it's kind of scary about it when you think about it. Did we answer everything? What about Grimes? Are you ready to fire Grimes? I'm ready to fire Grimes.
Yeah, I think we've run our course on that one.
I think you could do it
season. Yeah, that's one you could do. You're not flushing your season down the toilet by doing that.
But who
takes over the offense? Who takes over the offense Roger? For the rest of the year? Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I mean, it's hard to find an experienced coordinator in the middle of the season, right?
No, you're not going to find the replacement in the middle of the season. So.
According to Football Outsiders' FEI rating, we're the 102nd best offense in the country. That's Detmer-like, right? That is why he got fired. And so Toledo, we're going to look at that game and go, oh, well, you know, we threw for over 300 yards, all this stuff. That is one of the worst defenses in the country, and we were only able to score 3 touchdowns despite the fact that we got 3 turnovers. It's bad. The offense was bad. Now, I get the defense was not great on Saturday either, but they were good enough for us to win. So where are you at in the defense? Because a lot of people right now are saying, "Why it's this?" I feel like this is a repeat of last year. Everyone's talking about the offense, but the defense is terrible. The defense is not terrible. That's not factual, right?
I don't know. I mean, you look at some statistically, they're not great.
They've played 3 offenses that are top 40, right? Like, they're not great. They're not terrible. Right, they're probably average. It's probably an average defense. And yes, if they were a great defense, we'd probably beat Toledo. That's fair to say, I think. You think that's fair?
Yes.
If they were great, because Toledo's offense is okay, but they're not. It's not like we were playing like a top 15 offense or something. But the defense to me is injured and. I've been defending Tuiaki all year. I don't understand what he did on Saturday from a scheme standpoint. I don't understand on short yardage situations why we didn't have more guys in the box and our wide receivers just playing man. I mean, our defensive backs just playing man. I know they had thrown for some big passes earlier in the year, but against terrible defensive backs, I think our guys are better than that. You're not even giving Gunwalaku a chance to do some of that. Anyway, I don't know. Anything on the defense?
And I know you're going to say you're going to want to talk about the competition here, but they're giving up nearly 5 yards a carry.
But I feel like they've given
up over 1,000 rushing yards.
But I feel like that's on purpose. Like we're putting 5-6 guys in the box every play. Like I was getting in an argument about the speed of our linebackers with Jeff. On Saturday, and he's right. The linebacker speed probably isn't the problem. But you look at Fua, who am I thinking about? Played running back. Why can't I think of his name right now? Who's now a linebacker? What's happening in my brain right now? I'm like ranting brain. Anyway, so the linebackers are often really playing a safety position with where they're at on the field. Like, they're 10 yards back. Sometimes 7-8 yards behind the line of, but beyond the line of scrimmage. Like, that's not a linebacker, right? That's an old school, safety. You know, before all these two deeps. So I'm just sitting there going, I don't understand what he was doing against Toledo. To me, you stack the box and make that quarterback beat you. It's the opposite of what we did against USC, right? I thought that was going to be the game plan, and we have the defensive line and linebackers to do that, I thought, against this team at least, right? I mean, if we were playing, you know, Oklahoma, probably not. But we weren't playing Oklahoma. Do you have any other thoughts on Grimes, the defense, or coaching before we move on to the next questions?
I think that struggling to put points up against Toledo is a sign of a problem. That's a symptom of a larger issue, I believe. And the inability to put together a consistent offense for a couple of years in a row now is really concerning.
It's been
years. I'm still not sure I understand what the offensive identity is.
No, I don't
know. I felt like something was starting to come together maybe the first couple of games of the season. But definitely against Washington and then again against Toledo and to a certain extent against USC. And I know that you were dealing with some injuries in there and some other things, but I don't understand what the philosophy is.
Well, we averaged, if you take the sacks out, we averaged 4.8 yards per carry against Toledo rushing the football. Now I get it. Tyson wasn't there, our best back. That should have been 6 or 7 yards. And then we win, right? And we should have rushed the ball. We passed. We had 46 pass plays and 24 rushing plays. I feel like that was the wrong ratio against Toledo. I think we should have been run heavy and just tried to maul them. And I don't know why. I just don't understand. Like you said, I don't know what the identity was. I thought we were going to be like a power running team this year.
See, I wonder if Grimes figured that we weren't going to be able to slow down the run. They were going to chew up a bunch of clock and score points. So we were going to need to score quickly.
Well, it didn't work. What about Oldroyd's two missed field goals? Like, are you done with Oldroyd? Let's see Southam.
Yeah, I think I am.
Nah, I'm not.
You have a job to do one thing.
Yeah, it was bad. They were makeable field goals.
That is you do.
But it's not about what they do. It's about who's behind them, right? You make a change because you believe the next guy will be better, not because that guy's not playing well. Right?
I think the margin between Oldroyd and Southam probably isn't that wide.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think you have to give the other kid a chance.
But Oldroyd was 10-for-11 coming into the game. I'm just saying I'm not. I don't believe on a quick leash on kickers because I think you're just asking for trouble. Because what happens when Southam misses two against South Florida? What are you going to do then?
Put you Danny go back. Jones you got two. No, you got two kickers. You go back to Oldroyd. Give him another shot.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you're playing with fire on that one. But I understand why you'd make the change. I think you give him another game. Rest of the season. So we got a bunch of questions about the rest of the season. Wade Hillam on Facebook says, I don't want to be doom and gloom here, but we are two overtime games going the other way from being 0-5. I'm glad we have them, but are we making this team out to be better than they actually are? Too soon still to tell. Matt, what do you say to that?
I think some people might have been making this team out to be better than they actually are. But I think that when you and I have talked about these couple of wins, it's been, hey, look, like we thought the 2-2 was the upside here. This didn't work out exactly the way we thought it might. But we'll take these two wins. You know, but I don't think anybody's ignoring the fact that you got both of those wins in overtime, and one of those teams isn't very good. So I feel like we've been. I think that when we say this team, you know, is this team better than we thought? Is this team not as good as we thought we were? I believe the only real unrealistic expectation on the part of fans was going into the Washington game, thinking that we were going to beat these guys, like hands down. right? Or people that were ready to fire the whole coaching staff or bench Wilson or something after the Washington loss, right? Like, I think people, those people just don't have a clue. But so I don't know. I don't know if there's been like a mass movement to make this team out better than they really are.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with the we could be 0-5 thing, right? And not that it's not factual in his question, in Wade's question, because it certainly is, right? You could have easily, especially the Tennessee game, right? We're a blown coverage away from being 1-4, right?
We're a couple weeks, you know, Tyson Williams gets hurt a couple weeks earlier, and you would probably lose both those games.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, sure. But he wasn't, right? And we did, right? So I struggle with that kind of thing because once you get into those hypotheticals, let's go back to 2015, okay? We beat Nebraska on a miracle, right? We beat Boise State on a bit of a miracle, right? We lose to UCLA by a point, get blown out by Michigan. At that point, we're 2-2, and everybody was doom and gloom. You remember that? And then we hit a bunch of terrible teams and beat them all. Lose to Missouri in a game that I think we should have won. Right? It's the opposite of the Tennessee game where, yes, we probably should have lost. And then we had a really close loss to Utah. Football is a game of yards, of inches, of one play here and there. Right? And most of the games are going to come down to two or three key plays, right? All the plays matter, but I'm just saying, like, every game, almost every game is going to come down to a couple of key plays. And Toledo certainly did, and BYU did not make the key plays, and Toledo did, right? That was the difference in the game. You play that game again next Saturday, it could be totally different. So I struggle with the whole, well, we could almost be, you know, we could almost be 0-5. Well, we could, but we could also almost be 3-2 against Toledo, right? Oldroyd hits those two field goals. We're up by more. The whole game changes, right? And maybe Toledo never gets back into it because they take stupid risks, right? So I struggle with that because I don't think it's productive. The answer is this team is mediocre at best. That's the answer, right? Based on how they played today, I can't call them anything better than mediocre, than average in college football, and that may be too generous to be honest at this point.
I think we're below average. I don't know that we're not a top 50 team.
Well, yeah, but if you're like 55th in the country, you're probably about average, right?
Sure.
About there, and maybe that's where we're at in your bluest goggles, right? But you could make a good argument statistically and otherwise that we're probably closer to 85 than we are to 55.
Right.
So Nicholas Nelson's in that kind of mood. Dr. Nick says, that Toledo loss left me in a dark place. Looking at the rest of the schedule, if we lose to South Florida and going on the road with a freshman QB making his first start, that's well within the realm of possibility. It is, but South Florida's the worst team we'll have played this year. Right. Yes, it's within, it's sad to say, but it is within, Nick, the realm of possibility. What are the chances that the season runs off the rails a la 2017? What do you think the chances are, Matt?
Oh, geez.
Runs off the rails.
I feel like the chances of that are slim, but it might depend on your definition, right? I think if I look at this schedule, I believe we're going to lose three more football games.
Okay.
So is a five loss season run off the rails?
Three more football games is a six loss season. We've already lost three.
Oh, sorry. I was told there would be no math. Is a six loss season off the rails?
I think a lot of people would say yes.
Then yeah, I think that the odds are better. I think the odds of that are decent.
You stumble into the Hawaii Bowl, you know.
I think the chances of that are greater than 50%.
So according to Football Outsiders, the most likely scenarios all have us with six losses or more. like a 70% chance based on how we've played so far. Now, keep in mind, 5 games into a season, advanced stats are still a little iffy, right? Because not enough teams have played each other for the algorithms to really become powerful, right? And football is weird in that respect anyway, especially college football, because you've got 120 teams and a lot of them don't play each other, right? The SEC and the Conference USA don't play, right? A lot of the Power Five conferences hardly play each other, right? But that being said, if we go based on what they look at today, there's not a great chance. There's a very good chance that it goes off the rails. I am more optimistic just because I believe that there's more at play here than, I mean, USC, we looked pretty good on both sides of the ball. Not great, but pretty good. And USC's not terrible, right? We beat a decent team already this year. So I think we'll beat another decent team at some point. I don't know who that is, but 3 losses is not crazy at this point to think that we'll lose 3 again, right? We needed this win against Toledo. So let's talk about the rest of the season, Matt. You're calling for 6 losses. Who are those losses to?
So it's Boise State.
Yep.
It's Utah State. And then it's somebody else, and I'm not sure who it is. I think we beat Liberty. I think we beat Idaho State, but I believe we could lose to USF. You're going to hate this. I believe we could lose to UMass, and I believe we could lose to San Diego State.
We're not going
to. It was stupid when we lost to them.
Yeah, but that's a once in a lifetime. UMass is the worst, according to Football Outsiders. They are the worst team in college football. We're not going to lose to UMass. They were bad, but not this level of bad. We will beat UMass. But I agree with you. The South Florida one, I think, will be favored. We should be favored, and we should win that. But I think it is a losable game. He brings up a great point.
On the road, it's Jaren Hall's first start. I mean, there's a lot of ways we lose that game.
I think the defense is going to have to be better, and I think the run game, they're going to have to retool the run game. And Fanua, that's who I was talking about before.
Yeah. Did they bring him back over? Maybe you bring him back over.
I think, don't you have to bring him or Algier back over?
You need somebody back there because you've just lost all your depth.
The problem isn't whether they'll start over Katoa or Asupa, right? Because I don't think they will. The problem is if one of those guys gets hurt. And chances are they're running backs. Somebody else is going to miss some time this year out of the two of them. I think it's a given. And right now, you know, at some point I think people were thinking maybe Jaren Hall would become a running back, right? We did do a straight handoff to him last game? Was that Toledo? So, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, well, maybe, well, now you can't do that. Plus, that was probably not a good idea anyway. You should, backup quarterbacks are important. But Steve Vraska on Twitter, @SteveVraska, asked about the record. I think we lose 2 more games. And I think it's Utah State and Boise State, and I think we win the rest of those games. I think we
beat somebody San along Diego the State. Way here, Adam, is going to crack the code and beat us. I don't know which of those teams it's going to be.
Who?
But our like
Liberty
could
come
be
on.
USF, could be USF, it could be could San be Diego USF. State.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah,
I like sure. Boise State and Utah State. I'm locking in at this point.
Yeah, I am too. Boise State is way better than us. They may end up being the best team we play all year. Maybe, maybe not. Washington's pretty good. Utah's not terrible. Utah State, I don't know who they are yet. I think they're pretty good, though, right? I think they might be a top 40 team. But it's hard to know because of who they've played. I don't have as good feel for them as I do for Boise. And the advanced stats like Utah State right now. But like I said, it's early. They haven't played people. There's a good chance that they're overrated at the moment. Football Outsiders has them as 49th, which I think I've seen others have them in the top 35. So when the, you know, when the advanced stats and the advanced ratings are all over the place, that means no, we don't know how good this team is, right? But I think likely we lose to both Utah State and Boise State. I might feel a little different about Utah State if they were on, if it was in Provo. But San Diego State may be as good as Utah State or better. But again, I'm not 100% sure yet on them either. But I think we beat either Utah State or San Diego State. And we lose to one of them and beat the other one. But I think Boise, I don't have much hope for that game at all. Boise would have to lay an egg, I think. Because they may be
I think
the top 15
to really,
team.
They'd have to really blow it.
I mean, their defense looks great. Their offense is really solid. You know, and in Utah State, it's the defense, right? Their defense looks pretty good. And the problem for us is that's a matchup problem for us right now, because I don't think we can score on good defenses. I've seen no evidence this year that we can put up consistent yards and score against good offenses, good defenses. Heck, we could barely score 21 points against Toledo. So, all right, well, that's depressing.
This has been a lot of fun to talk about.
Yeah. So Keith Smith's asks, and we're going to skip some of these questions because we're running out of time. Sorry, Sweeney, we're not going to talk about California and paying college football players. We'll come back to that another week.
Let the kids eat.
Keith Smith on Facebook said, give us a positive spin on last Saturday. What did you see that we should be excited about or heading in the right direction for the rest of the season? How about kick and punt returns? We had a couple of good ones. My favorite was those announcers saying that Katoa was one of the best punt returners in the country, and I think he had fair caught every single one so far this year.
Sometimes that's the right decision to make.
No, it's totally the right decision. But I don't think I doubt Toledo was sitting there going, well, we got to punt it away from that guy. I mean, he may fair catch it. Now, again, he had a very nice return. But do you have anything else positive to say?
I don't know. Only 52 yards on the 6 penalties. No, okay, that wasn't positive. We converted 5 third downs out of 15.
Well, you're being Mr. Okay, Negative Nelly. Okay, so our big why this week, and we'll finish with this, is what do they need to do over the bye week? What needs to happen? So, Matt, you
we
first.
We need a graduate transfer running back.
I think we have enough. If you switch one of those guys over, Asupa and Katoa can run the football. They're not going to be as good as Tyson Williams. But I didn't think – I was okay with our offense, and I didn't think Tyson Williams was going to be as good as he was. I think you've got to be able to have a scheme where you'd line up with your these big offensive linemen and get 5 to 6 yards a carry. With Katoa and Asupa, I think you should be able to do that. And so I think they have to retool the running game. And I think we have to become a running football team. And I think this was probably what we should have been the whole year. Is I think we need to be a running football team. And I think you move one of those guys back over and, you know, and maybe you even use Gunwalaku on offense a little bit, right? Use your best players and create some big plays. And Jaren Hall's going to need a running game around him. If he's throwing the ball 40 times a week, we are going to be in trouble. I think. I mean, I don't want a guy in his first college start throwing the ball 40 times. Do you?
Well, no, and I think I'm with you. In order to be successful, we've got to reestablish a running identity, and Jaren Hall is going to have to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And defenses are going to have to buy into that. And even if we bring one of these linebackers over to play running back, we're just not going to we're not going to be able to put all of the carries on those two guys' shoulders.
No, you're going to need somebody else.
Right, and so I think you're going to have to take some more chances with Jaren Hall than maybe you were willing to take with Zach Wilson. And then when the time is right and the plays are set up, he's going to have to hit these guys over the top, right? Because you're going to run. You're going to creep the defense up a little bit, and then you'll hit some passes. But if he's throwing 40 passes, something's wrong.
Well, in theory, Jaren Hall is less accurate, has a bigger arm, and can run better. right? That's what we've been told. And we saw a little bit of that in his brief, in his brief appearances so far, right? I think the running part is for sure. I mean, Wilson wasn't a terrible runner, but I think Hall's got a different gear. Okay, cool. The deep ball one, we'll see, right? Being able to throw the ball farther only means something if you can, if somebody can get under it and catch it, right? You know, there's no rewards for distance unless somebody catches it. And the accuracy one, we'll see as well, right? But that's, I mean, that's why he's not the quarterback today, right? Or wasn't, right. I mean, before the injury, is that they thought Wilson could do better. So I think run offense is something they have to do. What's something the defense needs to implement this week during the bye week? What do they need to do?
Well, let's see, and this is going to be a little bit of a long-winded answer, but I'll try and keep it brief. I think that you've got to focus on winning one of these marginal games. If I think that you're going to lose three games left this season, you've got to look and say, okay, what are the games out of that three that are winnable for me, and what do I have to do to beat those teams? And if one of those teams is Utah State, you've got to figure out what exactly you're going to have to do to beat Utah State. And with this quarterback that's completing 65% of his passes, I think, you know, he's thrown for 1,200 yards. I think you're going to have to figure out a way I think your pass defense has got to get a little bit better. But more importantly, like, if you're going to play this thing where you really shut down the rushing attack, you've got to really shut it down. You've got to lock that stuff down. Yeah. And get, you know, and do what defensively has worked for us in a couple of these wins, where you're able to get pressure up the middle, flush a quarterback out, and force him into making some bad decisions. So in games where we've struggled, right, against, where you look at games where we've lost, we were unable to do that. And if that is the combination for us defensively, that is the winning combination. And I believe that it will work if we can get it done against the type of offense that Utah State runs. I would just focus on these marginal games. You know, Liberty, Idaho State, these other teams, like, you're going to beat those teams with Jaren. I just believe that you will. Boise State, I wouldn't, probably not a focus area. You got to figure out where you're going to pick up the one or two losses where you have a shot at the remaining of the stretch. That's what, as a coaching staff, that's what you have to figure out. Identify what those things are and go do them.
Well, I think you're going to be more aggressive too. I think we saw a little bit of that with them trying to strip the football, right? And I think you've got to do more of that, because I think our offense is going to need turnovers. Granted, they got three.
But it's so frustrating to get these turnovers and not convert them into points.
But you still got to do it. Vannoy did it, right, on that terrible offensive season, right?
Yeah, well, it's like strip sack score. I mean, he did all of those things.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, as a defense, you can't be worried. You've got to, as a coaching staff, stay focused on what you have to do. I get that emotionally that's really hard, but you have to stay focused on that, because in the end, they're probably going to have to win one of these games for us if we're going to win one of those three, to your point. They're going to have to win one of those games. You know, they're going to have to play a fantastic game in order for us to win one of those three. And like you said, could be Utah State, could be San Diego State, probably not Boise. But I think that that's aggressiveness, and I think he's probably got to vary up what he's been doing, because I think folks are going to figure it out, and I don't think it's sustainable. I think it worked against USC, but I don't think putting 4 to 5 guys in the box, you know, 2 out of the 3 downs is going to work, you know, long term. I think people will figure that out. Ken Potts says, what do we need to do to capitalize on red zone opportunities? Matt, what do you say to that? When an offense is sputtering in the red zone, what's the solution to that?
Stop getting cute. It's like we're like Joey the Idiot Circus Boy and his pretty new pet, right? Like, what's that movie with Chris Tommy Farley Boy. And you pet it and then you crush it, right? Like, we get down in the red zone, and this has gotten a little bit better as the season's gone on, but we get in the red zone and we get all cute, and we forget what it is that got us, that allowed us to matriculate the ball down the field. And you start getting away from the things that make sense, from the things that are working, and you try and, like, throw a bunch of curveballs in there. Forget that garbage, especially at this point. You've lost your two best offensive weapons. You got a freshman quarterback who's going to be making his first series of starts. You got running backs that, you know, that are good, but you don't have a feature running back. Like, you get something going that allows you to create momentum, you keep doing that thing all the way through that drive.
Yeah, I like that. So
that, for me, that's all on the coaches. All on the coaches.
I think it's just better third down play calling. We were 5 of 13, and 5 of 15, right? Or 5 of 13 against Toledo on third down, and we were 0-2 on fourth down.
It was 5 of 15. 5 of 15.
So call it 5 of 17 on third and fourth, right? That's bad, right? Against a bad defense that hadn't been very good on third downs throughout the rest of the season. I would say it's better play calls on third down. And that's part of what you're saying, right? Because you're talking about the cute and making some, you know, gadget and trick plays on key downs. I just think we have some weapons offensively where what I don't understand is if you lined Bushman, Hefo, and Simon up as like trips, right? On a third and two. You know, and you decide you're not going to run. How are they going to defend that? A Toledo, a Southern Florida. Tell me that one of those three guys is not going to be open off the line of scrimmage. I can't imagine that's not true. You know, Hefo's really good at that first move. Bushman's a matchup issue on almost every safety and defensive back size-wise that he's going to play against. And Simon has been a really solid route runner this year, right? I just don't understand why sometimes on third down, I look at the personnel on the field and I said, where's Bushman? Where's Simon? Right? Like, why is, and again, nothing against Dak Mill, but on these big plays, your best players need to be on the field and you need to drop a play that gets one of them the ball, right? You know, it should not be. And again, nothing against Shumway and Milne. I just don't think that's who you're going to likely go to unless it's the third option on the play, right? But if that's your primary
rocket science read, here.
Yeah, but that's what, you know, but that's what they need to do. You need to have a bunch of plays that you trust on that third and short to medium level, right? You need to have plays that you can count on and that Jaron Hall can make happen, right? And luckily, with his running ability, it might be the QB draw bunch, right? Or at least a look for your first option. If they're not open, then run type of draw, right? So we shall see. And then you've said you should replace Southam with Oldroyd.
I'd give the kid a whirl.
Well, I mean, I thought Southam showed enough last year to be the kicker this year, but Oldroyd's looked really good this year. I mean, he had 50-something yard field goal. We all forget that. That was just like a couple weeks ago, right? And everybody wants to throw the guy to the curb. By the way, never.
No, I'm saying maybe you get back to him, but I don't know.
By the way, never let someone nickname you Jake the Make.
Just yeah, he never liked that in his defense.
In his defense. Well, of course he didn't. It's stupid. Don't do that. Don't do that to a guy. Like, I feel like I don't believe in jinxes, but it's just don't do that. It's because the first time he misses, somebody's calling, oh, Drake LeMarc, huh? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, whatever. Well, Matt, we'll be back next week to preview the South Florida game, which we didn't really talk about that team hardly at all, but we'll talk about them more next week. And maybe be more positive? Sure. Yeah. Yeah, we'll be more positive next week, right? No?
Yes. I will do my best to be more positive next week. How's
that? This wasn't a very positive show, but I mean, what do you expect? We just lost to Toledo, for heaven's sake, right?
Yeah, like, holy Toledo.
We're not going to – hey, that's the first time I've heard that joke.
I just didn't have it in me.
Yeah, no, actually, you know? That's a terrible joke. But anyway, we'll go Nats. I do wish them luck against the Dodgers. I would rather see them win than the Dodgers, but – go Nats and go whoever's playing the Yankees.
There you go. Good way to get in the spirit of it, Adam.
I hate the Yankees. Oh, they're such a scrappy team. They had so many injuries this year. Shut up.
My son's Little League team. We just started a Little League season, and he's on a team that's the Yankees. And I just can't. And I'm helping out in the dugout and stuff and coaching bases a little bit in the field. And I just can't. I think I'm gonna have to get a Yankee shirt to wear, but it's like, I don't know if I can do it.
And you gotta shout "Go Yankees!"
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. It'll taint you
forever. I'm cheering for all of the individual players.
That's how you How's do that? It. Well, I was on the Yankees when I was a kid for 1 year. There's even a picture. There's photographic evidence. So, it happens to the best of us. Why couldn't your team be the Nats? That would have been sweet.
That would have been cool.
But
I have all that gear. I wouldn't have to buy any new gear.
I guess in Houston, probably in your league, is there a Nats? There probably isn't a Nats.
I don't think there's a Nats. I know there's the Astros, obviously. Yankees, Royals.
Dodgers.
The Rays, the Rangers.
The Rays, really? Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I think people just like the logo. I don't know.
Funky colors.
Yeah.
Funky colors. Well, everybody, thank you for downloading and listening. Check us out on Instagram at BYU_RiseShout, as did Kim Potts, her question, and Sweeney's question came from Instagram. Email us at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com, Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, same thing as Instagram, and Facebook.com/riseandshout. Thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. Subscribe on iTunes, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!
I'm not sure what word I said, but it wasn't time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you said.